To the Shutdown Foolcast. You are listening to the internet's only college football podcast. My name is Spencer Hall. I am joined, as always, by Ryan Nanny, hi, Jason Kirk, Holly Anderson, and on the ones and twos and threes, if we had them, Michael Server. This is a reminder, by the way, this entire episode's festivities are brought to you by Coors Light.
You almost forgot.
Mountain cold refreshment made to chill. How's everyone feeling today?
The mountains on the can emit the howls of the underworld when your beer is cold.
That's right. I'm giving you a 9 for that welcome. That was a really good one.
Thank you. Thank you. I put my whole diaphragm into it.
I'm a hater.
Not quite so your whole, because it wasn't a 10.
I'm
but
giving it a 7. Because a 7. I like to push you. I like my whole thing is I'm like, you got more in there. Give me more.
Ryan is the Ukrainian alcohol psychosis coach from Cutting Edge.
Yeah. Ryan walks in, puts his jacket up, and goes, whiplash. 3, 4.
Not my time. Not my time. Is this show the opposite of what they're going for in Whiplash?
Ooh.
I don't exactly know.
Let's ask Serber. He's a musician.
I mean, if Whiplash is all about, like, slavish devotion to precision, synchronicity, musicality, like, you know, everybody being on the same page. J.K. Simmons is lighting the studio on fire the second he is part of this podcast, right? His character.
I do think that we collectively would beat the shit out of Miles Teller, though. Hmm. So we've got that in common.
All right. I'm sorry. Could you repeat the question? I was answering a call on my Dale Earnhardt Sports Illustrated phone.
What?
What?
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
That's incredible.
Listeners, because this is an audio format, we will go ahead and describe the scene that I am seeing right now, which is Michael Serber holding up the black 3 car that is the AC Delco Parts Goodwrench car.
This is GM Goodwrench, not GM Goodwrench Plus.
That's correct.
This is a Lumina model, which, of course, Earnhardt dominated in along with Jeff Gordon.
That's right. And it is also a phone. If you roll it over the belly of the car, the undercarriage has a full, full button display. Does it have, how old school is it? It has a mute, redial, and blank spot. That's the button you press to respect 3, which you would think would be 3, but no, we have an additional one. Where the hell did you get that, Server?
I got this from my papaw, who ordered it out of Sports Illustrated.
It's an heirloom?
Yeah, of course.
You know, people talk about, like, the death of the print industry, but I think what really has killed newspapers and magazines is that telephone merch is just not what it used to be anymore.
Yeah. Absolutely.
My God, that's incredible. Yeah, I would have subscribed. Like, I'm easy. I'm an idiot. I totally subscribe for these kind of things. I know that because we had a house full of SI freebies. My dad would subscribe to SI, and then they would say, do you want a videotape called Crunch Course, which celebrates the NFL's greatest concussions? And he'd be like, hell yes, I do.
This is also a Crunch Course household. Yeah. But we're going to watch it 37 times.
Yeah.
Wait, was that real?
Crunch Course?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Crunch Course. Yeah, yes.
I didn't grow up in a Sports Illustrated house.
There was like a late 80s, early 90s NFL highlight genre that was just nothing but like big hits. This guy almost died.
Yeah.
This guy almost died.
Yeah.
Isn't that awesome? And it's set
simpler
over just
times,
like the shittiest stock music rock track you can imagine.
Oh, it does have some NFL films bangers in there though, right? Like boom, boom.
In case you're wondering, the Amazon reviews for NFL Crunch Course VHS are exactly what you think they are.
We gotta go back.
Pro football of the 80s and before was about tough players, not about the many prima donnas of the 90s and today.
Football before women existed.
Ryan, please tell me that's spelled P-R-E Madonna's.
It is sadly accurately spelled.
Whoa.
No, yeah. Fucking so way. In
that technically is Prima Donna. Some of those hits.
Yeah. Brian K. Jones, who reviewed this 23 years ago on Amazon.com.
Ooh, we're old.
Wait, what?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
No, yeah. No, we can't think like that. No.
Yes.
No.
23
no,
years
no,
ago,
no, no.
Brian K. Jones.
Amazon reviews it can drink.
Oh, yeah. No.
Amazon reviews stormed
God.
The Capitol.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Is this because I told everybody. I forgot to update everybody.
Hold on. Well, please let Spencer. I've seen the one Spencer's reading, and I really do need him to put it on the record.
The Crunch Course is one of the best no-frills videos on Hits the NFL I've seen. There's no joking around with, quote, follies, unquote, or any smut like that.
Smut! Wait, so what is this guy jacking off
this
to?
This is a must-see for true fans who are looking for blood-curdling hits.
Follies. No, get the fucking bloopers out of here. I want to see beheadings.
I want you to know that of all of the reviews, there are 11 total ratings of this, okay? 11 of a video that shows nothing but head trauma. It's just an like 45 minutes straight of head trauma and young NFL assistants looking into the camera and going, courage isn't about being unafraid. It's about those who go anyway.
That's understandable. Like, somebody had to produce Buck Nuts. Those guys have families.
Sure. So it's that. Yeah. And of for reviews of this video, which
they're
to
not
me
allowed
is
to
like,
see them, but they have families.
To me, like, the NFL would consider this to be like legally actionable. Like, if you actually purchase a copy of this, an agent for the NFL shows up and they're like, we're going
to
need
that. What they're doing is they're like, you can buy this, but you have to sign this and you can never testify at anything anywhere.
Yeah, you see nothing.
You're not allowed to serve on a jury.
Yeah, you know that warning when they're like, do not reproduce any portions of this video, do not rebroadcast, right? This
you
extends
do not
it.
Reproduce
like,
yourself.
Yeah, do not tell anyone about this
it
video.
It sterilizes you via a ray that comes out of that. That's what the light in your TV is for,
yes. Mm-hmm.
The little on-off light. It's actually a ray that points right at your nards.
The other thing I remember from this video is that Deacon Jones is in it, and he's the scariest human being in the world.
Yes.
Because they ask Deacon Jones, they're like, they show videos of Deacon Jones just clotheslining people and, like, assaulting them with tire irons, right? And they ask Deacon Jones, like, what'd you do to prep for games to get so mad? And he'd go, black coffee on an empty stomach, two cups. And I was like, you are the absolute psychopath.
This whole fucking video is coming back to me. It's like, it was one of these made me think Chuck Cecil was, like, Freddy fucking Krueger. Like, there's one of these videos where it's like, that guy should be in jail.
Yeah.
And, I mean, he should. Anyone who is highlighted in a Crunch Course era video, yes, they should have not have been allowed to play sports. I just left the first Letterboxd review for Crunch Course.
Oh, good, good.
Couldn't believe there wasn't one.
Spencer, I do need you, if you still have the Amazon listing, can you click to the picture of the video cassette outside of the case?
One moment, please. I'm on the way. The video cassette outside the case is a quality video with the name Hall on it. This might have been...
That is the thing I wanted you to see.
That might have been my copy.
Handwritten in the top left.
Honestly,
H-A-L-L.
Like
so no one steals it.
43 minutes of legally actionable assault with my family name written on it. This is the brand.
This
video is incredible. There's also Sam Huff is in it. And it's early black and white footage. Sam Huff was a linebacker, for like back in the 60s. And he's trash talking. And the trash talk in the 60s is Sam Huff pointing to a guy across the way that he has just, I don't know, hit in the Adam's apple with his knee in the pile and going, hey, bud, watch your mouth. I'll sock you one. in that voice.
If we did Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce in the 80s, Travis Kelce would have 7 teeth. And his whole job would be to put his forearm into the throat of opposing defensive ends. He would have 7 catches every year. That would be it.
That's a great tight end there.
Yeah. It'd be Taylor Swift is dating Conrad Dobler.
Yeah. And there'd be something like, yeah, you remember that great hit between Mark Gastineau and Travis Kelce? The one where his eyeball fell out? Yeah, that was amazing.
He put it back in on the field.
And he put it back in on the field. Yeah. Gastineau threw it in the stands. Came right out of his head, and Gastineau threw it. And then some Jets fan ate it. It was amazing.
I watched this shit on loop when I was like 7.
Yeah. No, there's a shot, like, there's a legitimately inspiring, like, burned into my hard drive scene of Walter Payton doing his hill sprints.
Yes, it is beautiful. Yes.
You're like, it is one of those things
it's
that...
It's shot like, these days they would use drone footage, is what it looks like. I don't know how they did it back then.
They did it by
a
losing
child.
Three...
This was child labor.
they grabbed a small child and threw them up high.
They wrapped a child in a tumbling mat.
Yeah, it's just Steve Sable out there.
All right, Billy, you're gonna dangle by this fishing line. All right,
I'm supposed to be in school. I want to be a doctor.
You need to square the shot up, is what you need to do.
Yeah, with a timpani player right off camera.
Boom, boom.
Yes, that's right. That's right.
Yeah,
orchestras were supported for decades by FL Films.
Wow.
When all music went electronic in the 80s, the NFL continued.
Simpler times, man.
I need the big drum. What hits good?
Men were men, and women were also men.
Just Deacon Jones haunting your dreams, being like, I'd follow the quarterback home, burn his house down.
Kate right? Bush in love with Bill Romanowski? Question mark.
Welcome to the sensual world.
That, literally running up the hill with Walter Payton. It really is.
Whoa.
If you did a terrible YouTube edit of that video set to Kate Bush's running on that hill,
yes.
I would have 10 hours of it. I would have it playing in my head, and I would cry while watching
it. But it's just the lines running up the hill over and over again. There's no other thing.
Yeah. He literally never gets to the top of the hill.
There is a deal with
the Chicago Bears.
It's guaranteed that Crunch Course has been introduced as an exhibit in an NFL concussion lawsuit, right?
Yes!
Like, absolutely.
I don't see how not.
Because you can do this. You could say, well, y'all knowingly knew about the violence of the game and actively encouraged it through your marketing and branding. And some NFL lawyer
there's a guy with a timpani in the courtroom. Dave, stop! No timpani right now!
This was clearly meant as a warning. When you hear the voiceover saying, modern day gladiators.
That's our emotional support.
You don't
support
want to be that.
That's John Madden's emotional support timpani.
Yeah, it's just Marion Campbell of the Falcons being like, y'all don't know where you are right now, and that's fine, because we're winning.
This might have been one where there's like 10 minutes on the Falcons team that literally blitzed 11 guys on every play.
Yeah, the grits blitz, yeah.
Oh, boy.
So that, believe it or not, is not what we wanted to lead with today.
But Server showed us his sweet phone, so that's what we had to do.
He showed us the Dale Earnhardt phone.
Which, by the way, Server, I cannot find one of those on eBay. So you have a true collector's
item. Oh, wow.
Pricey. Server, have you ever made a call with it? Is it connected to a landline?
No. And due to the college football fiasco of weeks 1 and 2, I no longer have a phone line through Spectrum, so I don't know how to test it anymore.
Next time you go to a hotel, bring it with you and just plug.
Oh,
that
like a Gideon's Bible. Yeah,
I couldn't have that in my house. I'd just get drunk and cry and be like, I'm gonna call God on the Dale phone. I'm gonna ask him what it's all about.
That's what the blank button is. You call Dale in heaven.
Yeah.
Speak to Dale. Server, ask Coach.
Server, what you need to get a landline, and you need
I'm not joking. I'm sorry for laughing, because I'm not joking at all.
No,
you need to make
either.
This your personal bat phone. Like, you're like, one person of great importance has this number. Maybe it's your dad. Maybe it's Felder.
It's
I don't know
be,
who.
It's going to be Hartzell.
Maybe it's Hartzell, and it's like,
no,
only Hartzell calls
no.
me.
No, that sounds like I really don't like Hartzell, but and I don't. But
No, but then you get the pleasure of screening the call.
It's probably Doug, I'll be honest with you. He's the one who
you
needs
could,
the
you could,
We probably need a personal line one to the other the most.
Yeah.
All right, Doug, good news.
You could give it to one person and then just never answer.
Doug,
that is
I have
a pretty
found
funny idea.
You can buy the shoe phone from Sports Illustrated on eBay. It's not nearly as good, but it is a shoe that's a phone. So
whose shoe?
Just a shoe. Just like a tennis shoe.
Okay, yeah, so it's old and generic, not
yes.
like this guy's sneaker.
Correct.
Yeah, no.
No.
I love
no.
it.
It is.
If you had like.
And it's not like a cool looking shoe either. It's just like, oh, this shit is busted.
A Nike shoe. Blazer would make a good phone.
Oh,
I was
yeah.
trying to think of phonular. Like, if we had a modern novelty phone craze, what would they be?
Oh, this shoe is amazing. It's like just the most basic white
yes.
tennis shoe.
Yes. Yeah.
There's also the football phone, which is
like imagine an unbranded
phenomenal.
Nike Air Monarch. That's essentially what this shoe is.
If you look at the ads for this, mm-hmm. and you can find them on YouTube, the one for the football phone there is somebody who looks at the camera and in a billowy 80s, 90s button down goes, "It's a phone, but it's a football!"
That's right. That's fucking right.
Like somebody was paid.
Okay, so now I want to cut to Anthony Richardson throwing that football phone.
Yeah.
And just exploding the eye socket of one of his receivers.
Yeah. The actual work hazard that is Anthony Richardson.
Can we talk about this? I know that this is a visual medium. Can we talk about this pass real quick? I apologize.
Yeah, if there's a pass, if you follow.
Because I think we might owe him an apology.
Yeah, you should follow Nate Tuss.
Welcome back anyway. To Crunch Corner Podcast.
No, for real. We might as a society owe Anthony Richardson an apology.
Yeah, you should follow Nate Tuss, first of all. Nate Tuss is a friend of the podcast. A football analyst in
his own
right.
He used to work at a pretty good sports website. Former
Wisconsin quarterback. His nickname
former
was the
Russell
Human Victory
Wilson roommate.
Russell Wilson roommate, and he says that Russell Wilson really does want to be president. You can listen to him talk about that on a fine episode.
But I assume Russell Wilson wants to be president in like the 24 way, not in the like real president life way, but in the like, "Mr. President, you must get to a bunker," and he's like, "No. I will fight the terrorists myself."
So he wants to be the, what's the word, the last survivor.
Yes. Designated survivor.
Listen, you can't be both
the
idiot.
Which is another key for Sutherland Vehicle.
You can't be the idiot boy who saves the president and the president. That's
Russell
works.
Wilson can. Russell Wilson thinks he can.
Idiot
but yes, you can listen to that. You can listen to that episode on Pablo Torre Finds Out. Sorry, go ahead.
Yes. Thank you for completing the unsolicited plug.
Pablo, that will be $10,000.
That will be
$10,000. We know you
have it. We'll be invoicing. Yep. We know you got it, son. Come on.
Bring it back.
Send that shit on over. Oh, but cost of living in New York. Too bad. Live somewhere cheaper. We're sending the bill. Nate Tuss, you should follow him anyway. He shared a clip of Anthony Richardson doing a throw in the Colts game this past weekend. Anthony Richardson at Florida had an issue where he threw the ball so hard, his receivers could not catch it. This is often because they simply lacked the hand strength and intestinal fortitude to catch it, which I do not blame them for.
But that wasn't necessarily the word on Anthony when he was in college.
No, that was that he was inaccurate.
Right.
He was inaccurate.
But part of that inaccuracy was like, hey, this
drops.
Is a like 5 yard out.
I'm going to fucking hammer.
Yeah. But the overall knock on him, the thing that floated out into the ether was not. He's too strong. It was he's inaccurate.
Yes,
like that was
yes,
the top
that
line.
Is,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
That is.
And
that is
after seeing this,
point.
After seeing this Colts pass, I think we may have to reverse that top line.
Yeah,
he might be too strong for anybody.
Yeah, it's like a post route on the right hash, thrown anywhere from 20 to 25 yards. I'm just doing this off the top of my head, so I'm not exactly sure how far, but it's about 20-25 yards somewhere in there, and it is ripped. It is. Torn a hole in the fabric of space and time hard and caught right over the guy's right shoulder away from the defender. It is a not only a perfect pass, but thrown with a velocity and accuracy that is railgun alarming.
It continues to rise at a rate that you don't that doesn't look physically possible. Like
yeah.
It looks like bad CGI.
Yeah. It's like Josh Allen worthy. Like yeah. Where Josh Allen makes those throws where you go, huh, that's a straight line. 40 yards down the field to an exact point most people couldn't hit in 10 tries. Yeah, it's that good and that scary. So
it's fucked up.
Yeah, no. It's like so good. It's like messed up.
Yeah.
I just want to note, Nate does write for a good website these days.
oh, shit. I'm sorry. I forgot there's news. Sorry. Okay. Forgot there was a new sports website. It's Jason's. That's it. My apologies to Nate and Jason.
Yeah. That's The Athletic?
I forgot we were still making sports websites.
Wait, still going.
There's a couple.
I don't know why.
There's a couple.
It's the E-Flitic.
Some of them even have newsletters.
Yes.
That's my makeup call. I feel bad. Look, I never know how to act when I actually feel bad because it's not something that happens
don't
very often.
Listen.
It's not a problem.
You can't feel bad on this show. That's what the listeners have to do.
Ah.
Correct.
Yes.
Holly.
I wouldn't feel bad if it was Spencer. I feel bad if it's one of you two. Oh, shit. Ryan has a sports web. God damn it.
Uh-huh. That's
Can I say something about that we published at my
messenger.com?
How is your news? Fine, you can go to messenger.com/sports, or you can go to The Athletic, or you can go to Channel 6, or you can go to Split Zone Duo if you love.
Go to all of them.
If the fuck is Split Zone Duo?
Go to 3 websites per day.
Yeah, that's it. And I don't know, see what Bud's up to, too. Bud's fun.
God,
Bud's great at making people mad. Like, Bud,
there's nothing left but sports websites. They litter the landscape, and all of our friends are at the
surplus of sports websites.
You know, Bill Connolly wrote something today that I just thought
was surreal. I don't know who that is.
Agent 0001. So, 10001.
Lauren Brownlow wrote something for us that I truly did not. I didn't. It makes sense, but I didn't really appreciate it.
I didn't know she was writing for y'all. I love her.
Notre Dame has won 30 straight regular season ACC games.
What the fuck?
Do you remember in 2017 when Miami beat Notre Dame and Miami fans went fucking crazy?
Miami was back, yes.
And then they lost to Pitt and got stomped in the ACC championship game. That Miami game, that's the last regular season ACC game that Notre Dame has lost.
But, Ryan, Notre Dame's not in the ACC.
You know what? Notre Dame and ACC are every stereotypical open relationship.
I described him as that on Split Zone Duo.
Yeah?
This is a ethical non-monogamy Catholic situation.
That Catholic polycule culture that
this
we
is,
all...
What a horrible fucking
Indiana.
Deal for the ACC. Their teams just lose, and what do they get out of this?
This was the first time
a little
like,
bit of TV ratings?
This was the first time in like 2 years that a team even an ACC opponent even kept it within one score. Now some of it is like Notre Dame keeps drawing Duke is the exception here, but they keep drawing like ACC teams that are not very good. Although they've also like they've beat Clemson, they've beat Florida State, not when Florida State was great, whatever, but like 30 games is Just so many. And they made you take Stanford and Cal. And they're still not in your league.
I don't you have to adopt Stanford all their weird pets, and they still haven't left their wife, the Virgin Mary.
Like,
all they did is leave their shit in your yard.
Like, I have
the
to...
The pets could have done that on their own.
I have to admit, Notre Dame has fucking flexed on the ACC with amazing skill.
Uh-huh. And, like, I don't care if you're playing bad teams. Football's hard and stupid things happen.
Yes.
30 in a row is a wild streak.
That should probably be like the in Latin over the entrance to the stadiums.
Yeah. I feel like, so maybe we can resolve this with the old standby of like, Notre Dame's schedules are bad and so often weak and they don't count. Just knowing that they're having this easy of a time with the ACC for the first time, we can pretend that
true.
Old standby
is
true.
Yeah, let's do that. That's great. That works.
Time to up the difficulty.
And,
join the Pac-12.
Ironically.
Yeah. Whoa, easy. Whoa, damn.
Jason, by doing that, we're further hurting the ACC because it's all focused on the conference being bad.
We're just getting rid of all of it.
Oh, boy. So, yeah, I mean, great job, Notre Dame, just fucking dominating your business partner for the better part of 6 years.
Secretary remake is weird.
Like, I think Sam Hartman might have been in high school the last time Notre Dame lost to an ACC team. I'm going to double check.
Or may have just been starting in his first of 9 years.
Yeah, he was in high school. He had not yet started at Wake Forest. Damn. That's how long it's been.
Sam Hartman was leaving Amazon reviews on Crunch Course.
Oh, God. I'm unstuck in time.
Oh, no, wait. He wasn't alive yet.
Hey, you guys remember week before last when I pointed out that Alex Kirshner was born in 1992 and our entire audience crumbled to dust?
Yeah.
I have a correction.
Yeah, that's
it. The first thing I did after this was tell Alex that he had owned in absentia our entire audience. And he said, well, that's funny. And I said, why? And he said, I was actually born in 1994. And then my entire arm just fell off at that shoulder. Just rotted away.
Man.
Customers also bought.
Wait, now let's see what customers also
saw.
Bought.
What? It's like a man cave kit.
Trash bags and duct tape. Lye? What do we need lye for? In such large quantities.
The Dreamers? What?
Blow up trad wife.
You all right?
Yes.
Before we get entirely off the subject of Notre Dame. As this,
that
was smooth. That was the smoothest transition yeah. we've ever had.
As this podcast resident,
J.K. Simmons fucking livid right now.
Yeah,
this is not going to make people stop asking about our polycule.
No. Are you rushing? So on TikTok, you should know that there are some truly out of pocket ladies and gentlemen who are thirsting over Sam Hartman. There are every
that
single.
That seems normal. That's not out of pocket. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, no, there's a lot of like extremely sultry slow motion montages of.
That's normal.
Sam Hartman.
It's just going to happen.
Wait, we looked through Trace McSorley Twitter.
Also like
Sam Hartman this is, TikTok.
A hockey franchise intense. Had to tell TikTok to stop being horny, and TikTok got very mad.
What?
What was this?
This is. Hold on.
This is not scripted.
No,
I really don't know.
No, I don't either.
Hold on. All right, I'm Googling because it autofilled. NHL book talk drama.
I love it. Yes.
This is about. So
that's
there's
three words
a.
Just put back to back.
None of those words are in the Bible. I'm guessing there's an author
forward,
was horny. Is that what
there's
happened?
A forward for the Seattle Kraken named Alex Wenberg, who is white and who's married, rather. He and his wife had to publish statements that were like, please stop objectifying NHL players. On
were they publishing line. Fanfic about him?
Yes. I think basically
oh,
like
no.
like and in it the, was getting like aggressively sexual to the point where like at first the Kraken were like, "Oh, this is like, you know, book talks into us, like this is a good thing we should do and we should
oh,
like
no.
sort of like engage with this audience." But then this audience just could not settle down at all.
So like this is Travis Kelce's future.
Oh boy! I mean,
no, they're too busy. No, Swifties right now are too busy running Barstool into the ground.
Yeah,
that's yeah. That, just, I mean, one job at a time. That's
yeah.
fine.
Yeah,
it's a good use of time.
And it like, granted, it wasn't like, you know, it was a select segment of book talk, but they were just like, yeah, it was just like too much.
So it's crazy that this is book talk and specifically not just TikTok.
Yes,
like we're yeah. publishing volumes of fanfic here.
Apparently.
And holding them up and pointing at them?
I guess so.
Why don't you just publish your thing and then just change the names?
Why don't you just watch Crunch Course, everybody?
Yeah. What? Yeah.
Yeah, you want to talk about hot stuff.
Like, there were ways to not, I didn't want to say rub it in this guy's face, but there
yeah.
were ways.
If you want real eroticism, why don't
Should
you go...
Should we be celebrating that women can be just as problematically sexual online? Like, is this a weird frontier for equality?
This is the more yeah. women prison guards hand clap.
Yes, okay, yes. There we go. Yeah.
Yeah. If
more
you want...
women drone pilots.
Gatekeep, girl Gate... boss.
Gag me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Something. Yeah.
Yeah. Hockey... problems.
Yep.
Remember,
we don't know enough hockey words for this.
For real eroticism.
Goalie.
Oh,
there we go.
Yeah.
Goalkeep. Gas. Goalkeep. Girl boss.
Ice, yeah.
Icing.
Ghastly public relations schedule.
Ass fight. No.
Ass fight. Another quality NFL.
It sounds like an Ocho sport.
Like a sarcastic overreaction to like, oh, the National Organization of Women says we can't show guys punching each other in the head. So here's the guys landed on their butts. You like that? Huh? This is what girls want us to do with our free time?
You like their cheeky cheeks bouncy bouncing off God's green art, ladies?
That's what you like looking at?
Cake bosses in NFL video. Bum, 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 bum. Ironhead Hayward, an ass known Woo! For miles.
I did really enjoy on the Monday Night Manning cast last night where they had Sean O'Hara
extended butt cheek discourse.
Did y'all see this where they had Sean O'Hara on and Eli made him explain how he got so sweaty during games? This was the center for the Giants during most of Eli's career. That at halftime, Eli would make him get on the training table like a baby because I guess his pants were like taped to his cleats and an equipment manager would have to change him into like dry pants for the second half. So Eli
yeah,
because
couldn't,
Eli couldn't
could
get anywhere near his butt without like he would be dripped on.
Yes.
Yeah.
And Eli made this man talk about it. He was like, "Did you like that?" And Sean O'Hara was like, "No, I didn't like it at all." Actually. Oh, boy.
Yeah, it's been a good one.
There's
Sean, sweaty ass O'Hara.
My favorite part of the Manny cast, for which we thank, the return of which, for which we thank God in all his forms, was a little bit earlier in the night when Peyton and Eli were talking about, a tush push. And there's this moment where Peyton says a phrase that could be, I don't even remember what he says. Like, Peyton's like, yeah, you got to really get up in there or something like that. Something that could be derailed by a phrases type.
Yes.
A phrases type occurrence. And Eli is visibly ready to jump. Is visibly getting ready to jump off the track and veer into a joke. And Peyton just keeps going. Like, Peyton is locked in on this butt crack metaphor and just keeps going for like 30 seconds while Eli just kind of gets quieter and quieter. And Peyton's like, well, you got one guy pushing on the right butt cheek and one guy pushing on the left, and then one guy can just go right up in the middle. There's room in there. And Eli's just kind of slowly wilting, but also trying really hard not to laugh. And Jake Hang at the end of the game, who said that the Manning cast was the perfect format for Seahawks Giants because it was a broadcast that actually reflected the game. And at that point, Peyton and Eli had been talking about wet willies for 3 minutes and just going, oh no, every time Daniel Jones threw another
pick.
Well,
that's the thing, is that the Manning cast is supposed to, like, it's portrayed as like, look, this is fun and light and there are guests and whatever, but what it really is kitchen nightmares.
Mm-hmm,
and these Peyton. Two are Gordon Ramsay, and they're like, we're here at Daniel Jones' fish shop, and it smells of terror.
The person who's having the worst time of all is Peyton.
Oh, my God. Chargers-Jets is a Monday night game.
Yes! Yeah.
There's a Bears-Vikings Monday. Like, the Monday...
The Bills are going to beat the Broncos by 900,000 points on Monday Night Football.
The Monday Night Football schedule, and again...
Vikings-Bears?
Yep, you've got that one. The Raiders play on Monday night, I think, twice this season, which is
really
fucking
like,
criminal.
The NFL has to eliminate these FCS games. It's time.
All right, we're here to talk about college football. We're hitting still we're big hits still, blah-bitty blah.
In the NFL, there is no margin for error. One mistake can change the outcome of a game. Science proves quality sleep can help boost reaction time, recovery time, and overall athletic performance. As the official sleep wellness partner of the NFL, Sleep Number's mission is to provide players with data and insights to optimize their sleep for the ultimate competitive edge. Sleep is essential for recovery, and we all have unique needs. That's why Sleep Number smart beds are perfect for couples, with individualized settings for each side. Since 2018, Sleep Number and the NFL have teamed up to bring quality sleep to elite athletes. 8 out of 10 NFL players, including 80% of Kansas City Chiefs players, trust Sleep Number for their best rest. And now, during Sleep Number's biggest sale of the year, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed, plus special financing for a limited time. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com. Sleep Number, official sleep and wellness partner of the NFL. See store for details.
So I did a dangerous thing. I did a little bit of homework, Kill.
Ryan, you look different.
Yeah.
Did you do something with your hair?
I was kind of... yes, I got a cut. Which... Yeah.
Just go. I moved it all to my chin.
Yes. Thank you. There we go.
What?
Just go. Just go, dude.
So I was wondering yesterday, I was like, we've hit the point in the season where I think we're starting to build up a little sort of like, okay, you're heading for like either serious disappointment or massive fulfillment as a team vis-a-vis in regarding your expectations preseason. Like, we have expected games, we have expected wins, we're like, okay, Vegas has you at this. And right now some of y'all are disappointing Vegas. I know it's a low point in life when you've disappointed the Sin City, but there are some teams that are so far off at this point that you're like, we can pretty much go ahead and wrap you up as like, brother, you need some crazy things to happen for you to even be considered to be a mild disappointment. And I looked, and there were some people that we talked about, and then there were some people that we really haven't touched on in terms of being extremely disappointing.
Are you just looking at the negative? Like, are we going to talk about the positives, or is this just...
There are some people. Okay. There are some who have exceeded.
Okay. I'm just curious. I'm fine with...
No, there are some positives. Okay. It's not all... Listen, it's not all like, you know, turrets around here, right? We have some blossoms as well.
Lovely.
It's all one big field metaphor, baby.
Shut down, Fullcast. It's not all turds.
It's not all turds is what I'm trying to say here. For instance, and this was the one who got me thinking about it originally. This is what a dark place my brain is. I was thinking about Tampa. Specifically, I was thinking about the University of South Florida.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Went 1-11 last year, for context.
Yes. Went 1-11 with a preseason expectation. These odds are all from the MGM Grands sports book, if you would like the source. From BetMGM, the preseason odds.
Such thorough research.
I know.
A works cited page?
Yeah, that's because at every turn when I'm trying to do this, I'm like, where's Ryan going to make fun of me? And I just build that.
Oh, I mean, I love the it. Place oh. I'll make fun of you here is you like, finally... I'm very glad you decided not to go find the odds, the preseason odds from the gambling company that sponsors our show.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's correct. So,
these numbers are inferior. Let's just say that.
Yep. Just like, much like yeah, the see, shutdown full cast.
These are so wrong.
Yes,
Ryan.
That's true. That's what we are
yeah,
talking
yeah.
about.
Yeah, yeah. DraftKings were all dead on.
These are draft knaves.
Okay.
Yes. I'm going to show you how very wrong all of these
all
are.
All right, so USF.
USF. 4.5 wins projected preseason.
Okay.
Okay. But they already stand at a robust 3-2.
Yeah, because the numbers are bad.
Yeah, with one of those losses. Yeah, because the numbers are bad. But with one of those losses coming to Alabama, you know, a more than respectable loss.
And there, so like, and there are at least, I would say, two wins you can find on the remainder of the schedule, assuming
well,
things don't go haywire.
We'll talk a little bit more about them later, okay. But they do play UConn.
Yeah.
And they do play Temple.
The University okay. of Connecticut and, found money Huskies.
And they also play Charlotte. So, like...
Things are looking awesome.
Hey, Charlotte's a good football team, and other football teams that beat them should get lots of credit for doing that, even if that's one of their only wins this year.
That's correct. A fierce test. A serious
especially when you
test
play them at home.
Team.
They're really good on the road. They're actually harder to play on the road than at home. People don't know that.
They
especially
are
if
famous
you underwhelm
that.
In that game, that's just because Charlotte was that devilish
yep.
on
yep.
the field. So, USF, Alex Golish in year one, good job, dude. Like, superb work. We're already, like, exceeding expectations.
Unlike some other
in
Alex
Tampa.
G coaches we can think
there
of.
Is, mm-hmm. There is a this segment is of one. The audience right now that is, like, in consecutive shows, including the After Dark show, the full cast has said nice things about Missouri and USF, and that is how you know how bad this of a shape this country is really in right now. Call
yeah,
your senator, call your congressperson, ask them to bring back the old shutdown full cast.
This is a college football podcast, so we like to uncover, you know, the lesser covered stories, the unknown stories.
It's
that's why I want to highlight
into the show. So we should probably start doing that.
Yeah, uh-huh. I wanted to highlight that Colorado, a team rarely spoken of this season.
What was the win total? Have we gone
for that?
This long without talking about Colorado in terms of seconds all season?
They were 3.5. 3.5 games was their preseason
okay.
prediction. 3.5 wins.
Okay.
And they're already at 3-2. Right, so good for y'all.
And should exceed this, like, pretty. If they don't, boy, no.
They got Stanford.
They got Stanford. They got Arizona State.
They got Stanford. They got Arizona State.
And there's, like, a couple other coin flips as well.
There's maybe some flippy in there.
Sure.
Yeah. There's the possibility that they could go ahead.
And Travis Hunter's coming back.
Yeah.
Like, 6 wins? 6 wins is entirely probable.
It's on the table.
It's on. Yes, I would agree.
I wouldn't say probable.
Okay,
but
okay, it's on the table.
TeamRankings.com does project.
It's a long table. You might not be able to reach.
It's very. Yeah. It's so close to the table. I will say, TeamRankings.com projects them at 6.1 wins.
Okay.
So,
all right.
Let's call it likely.
Okay.
Yeah, looking pretty decent. Okay, so just you know, like if you didn't already know, that's a success. Okay. That's like already been a success. Congratulations, y'all. I wanted to discuss this one because you know, they're the fathers of this whole shit. Rutgers was at 4.5 wins.
Mm-hmm. Fathers
preseason.
Of shit.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Rutgers was at 4.5 wins. Currently sitting at 4-1, baby. Currently sitting. And in a very Rutgers gesture, I would say I'd go ahead and take the over there. On whether
they better hit, but because they have Michigan State and Indiana left. Like, they really better hit the over here. If they lose every game left on the schedule, it's very hard to say this was a good year for Rutgers.
They better win two out of the next three, and those two better be Michigan State and Indiana.
Yeah, I think that's right. I think that's right. I don't. Beyond that, I'm like, maybe Iowa, maybe, because that will just be. Rutgers plays such a, like, molasses slow form of football that the over under for that game is going to be diabolically low.
Nine. Yeah.
Nine. Take the under.
Blackjack.
Like, nine card blackjack hand, right?
Two.
You're on your sixth card. Yeah,
one
you're on
and
your
a quarter.
Card. It's like, why am I at 11?
How to buy more
just
cards.
Looking at the defenses they're facing, like, Massey projects Rutgers to score from here on out 14, 21, 23, 12, 11, 13, 10, and 21.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, they got a Boy Scout troop there in terms of ages. So that's.
I don't think you know Ohio State, Iowa,
what? Penn State. Right.
You know how you got a bunch of 23-year-olds in your Boy Scout troop?
No, that's the camp. That's the scout leader.
If I saw these ages listed on a Lost in the Wilderness manifest, I would be like, a scoutmaster is in trouble.
Sure. Yeah. The 23-year-old is in charge.
Sure.
Yeah, exactly. This is a Whitewater
competitive soccer team, Lost in Wilderness.
Yes. Yes.
There we go.
Yeah, this is Yellow Jackets for boys. That's which is from New Jersey.
There
it checks
go.
Out.
There you go.
See? Bringing it all the way around.
That'd be a really short show.
So, yes, unfortunately.
We're all going hunting. We're all dead now. Who's staying here with the stuff? Nobody.
Fuck that.
This is an awesome Tubi movie.
35-minute Yellow Jackets.
You could do that bit. Lost in Piedmont Park. We just shoot it on an iPhone.
Turns into a documentary, a true crime documentary, when the filmmakers are themselves shot in Piedmont Park.
We could do this. Let's just do it and see if we can make like $73 off this movie. Foolcast Productions. I have one that's near.
It could actually take place at Piedmont Park in real life, and they just can't find their way out of it because they refuse to ask for directions.
That's Well, dudes rock.
Man.
Yeah.
Dick Butkus wouldn't ask for directions. He'd hit.
Butkus.
I want to leave the winners for a second. We're going to come back. I wanted to go to one that we'd already mentioned. Losers. Okay, coming into the season, y'all, UConn was projected at 4.5 wins.
Who did that?
Is like pretty, I mean, this is a team that, what, did they win 5 or 6 last year?
They went bowling.
Okay, so like, that's not, year over year, it's like, okay, that's not a high degree of enthusiasm to say, this team that made a bowl is only going to get 4 or 5 wins.
Yeah, they are they are very significantly worse than last year, and
yes,
that
and
wasn't are cur- expected.
They are currently they're at- also like snake bit in a weird way.
Mm. Yeah, bad teams usually are.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, flies follow, you know, what they follow, and this is a team that is currently at 0-5, and looking down the stretch in terms of, hey, surely things will look up. They are favored in one game out of their next
The Sacred Heart 7. Game?
Sacred Heart. Yeah. They are favored against Sacred Heart.
What the
Heart.
Fuck is Sacred Heart?
It better be a win.
Is that that's not even FCS, is it?
Yeah, it's FCS.
Yeah, it's an FCS team. But it's not a very
good one. It's not good a good one.
No, are 1-4.
The rare accidental bit of anti-Catholicism on the show, and it didn't come from Spencer.
They are not a
goddamn.
They're not a tenacious FCS.
If it was intentional, it was me.
But they got to they have to play Rice, who's 3-2 this year. They have to play South Florida. They have to play a Boston College team I don't understand in the slightest.
They got to play Tennessee, which at Massey they're listed at 0% chance.
Wait,
that's hard to do. That is fucking hard to do.
UConn plays.
When did we schedule that? I don't even remember.
Hey, good for you.
Tennessee November 4th.
What the? Why is it in November 4th?
Because it's about tradition.
Just, don't get caught.
No, why is it? No, I mean, it's not even SoCon Challenge Week.
It's sandwiched. Awesome. It's sandwiched between a road game at Kentucky and a road game at Mizzou.
This fucking schedule, dude. Like, they're going to Boston
innovative.
College. They're going to Tennessee. Then they're going to JMU. JMU's really good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
God. And this then, end of the year, the two worst teams are facing each other in the Cum Bowl.
UConn,
UMass.
Is UMass again one of... Ah, that's disappointing.
Did
per Massey right now, they are Let me see the computer composite. Okay. UMass is last. UConn is fourth from last.
UMass is at least a more fun bad team this year, I would argue.
Yeah.
Well, they have one win, so that's more fun.
Yeah. So that's grim.
Okay.
That's grim as hell.
So they have to go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So they have to go 5-2 to end the year to hit the over? Yeah, that shit ain't happening.
Yeah.
UConn beats Tennessee. 0% is hard to pull off. Anyone who puts these numbers together is like, "Ooh, let's avoid the zeros and the hundreds."
Uh-huh.
But let's always say, like,
right?
"Oh,
you gotta leave room for somebody."
4%. Yeah, yeah, 6%. Like, yeah, right.
Which is to say, Jim Moore, you have a chance to pull off the most amazing. You could be the only coach in the world who could actually say nobody thought you could win, because you didn't think you could do this shit either. You'd go into the locker room. Hey, I'm gonna have to clean those up. Stop throwing them at me. God damn.
No. Nope. You know what you did.
I know what I did. But God, there's me. I'm just gonna, take the ammunition away. Another loser, by the way. No, don't throw that. God damn. Another loser in terms of expectations.
Underperformer, please.
No, this is a loss.
Currently a loser.
Yeah.
But
currently a
here
loser.
Here comes the turn.
I think bound it and bound for glory.
Yeah.
Pitt.
Oh.
Pitt. Pitt had 7 expected wins.
7?
Yikes.
7.
What do we have? 1?
Expected win.
Yeah.
1-4.
over the Terriers.
Over Wofford. So they're 0 for FBS right now.
And they're getting less competitive as they go.
Uh-huh. Of the remaining 7 games.
Four are against currently ranked teams.
7-8. I'm sorry. Is there 8 games remaining?
No, there's 7. There's 7. 4
are
against
all of them
ranked
against
teams.
All of them other than BC are against 1-loss or better teams.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Zoinks.
So they're favored in the BC game, which would give them 2.
Oh man, the jerk ball.
I mean, it's really sad that us, the people who invented the concept of Pitt losing in order to become more powerful, are not predicting that at all.
What's fucked up is that if the super weapon goes off, it will be on November 25th when Pitt beats Duke, and we
Duke in the playoff. How crazy is this going to be?
Finally, yeah. Duke gets its comeuppance.
I mean, they could knock out FSU.
They cannot do that. What are their defense?
Maybe.
Hold on. What are their defensive numbers look like right now?
It's terrible.
Right. Like for a team that hangs its hat on that.
He
for
said might. He said could.
For
yeah,
a coach
I said
who,
could.
For a coach who hangs
I
his
believe
hat,
in possibility, Ryan.
In defensive F plus right now, they are 48th.
Yeah, that would really suck to not be able to score on that team, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
That would be a big surprise, and you'd feel bad about it.
All right. I have another one that I'm noticing on F Plus that I suspect is on your list, too.
Go ahead. Fire away.
Illinois.
No, I did not put them on
ooh,
there.
Okay.
Go
tell
ahead.
Us about
and,
it.
What enlighten is, me. What, I, have right, one, what, I have one in the barrel here. Go
I
ahead.
Can't wait to do the show notes for this episode and write up all the teams we're talking about.
Let me
and not say why.
Let me see if I can find what the preseason win-loss was for Illinois, but you can keep going.
I have one that... boy, if you want to white knuckle it, if you want to go ahead and make a bet that's going to have you sweating the rest of the year, LSU is expected to
woo-hoo!
Win 9.5 games.
That is some purple people eating.
Uh-huh. They were expected to win 9.5, which is that's a tough number.
Sorry, how many do they have right now?
We're currently sitting at 3-2.
So less. Okay.
3-2 and less. And they're all right. Now there's some trending up, okay? They're favored in all but one game ahead, okay?
Which has gone really well for them so far. But
right.
And also, their defense is still their defense. So
and their defense is ass.
Like, I'm going to be a broken record about this. It's worse than USC's. Everyone has fixated on USC's terrible defense. It is worse than USC's.
Can I tell you, too, the variety of bedevilment that they will face down the stretch? Because there is one game. First of all, they are coming up this weekend at Mizzou, which is a fiddly, tricky little offense.
Possibly, we wrote in the top whatever on Channel 6 yesterday, possibly the most complete team in its division.
Surely the most consistent team.
Consistent, yeah.
Uh-huh.
I think that's a better word for it. But yeah, they are the most consistent team.
Horrifying,
and they are bedeviling.
But that's not the game that you should be talking about.
No, that's not the game I'm talking
about. It's the next game you should be talking about.
It's the next three.
No, I was saying the next three are all one, and the next one is Auburn.
Yeah.
LSU Auburn. Like the nightmare game in all of the sport.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
With two teams both currently undergoing different nightmares, both of them. So that's just going to be nightmare on nightmare. And then the next week, they have to face Army.
a not terrible Army adjusting to new rules. Mm-hmm. Always a headache.
And then they play at Alabama.
Which will be good and angry by then.
Yeah.
Illinois appears to have had a preseason. We'll get back to LSU, I promise. Illinois was 6.5. Was their over under, and I think they've won one game. I'm going to double check that.
Two. Toledo and FAU.
FAU is the other one. They barely beat Toledo. Illinois can still pull this off. They play Nebraska. They play Indiana. They play Northwestern. They play Minnesota. They play Iowa. They don't have a ranked team left. They avoid, like, Penn State was the only sort of like titan of the Big Ten that they have to play. They can still make it happen, but man, they got their asses kicked by Purdue. Like, and if I will say this, they play Nebraska Illinois Friday night. Okay, sure. That will kind of tell you if they're gonna pull this one out of the dive or not.
Yeah, that's another white knuckler. You're like, it's possible, but it's not gonna be fun.
No.
No,
no.
That's if that's your goal, it's going to be a desperate climb up to that.
Team rankings projects LSU at 8-4, which that you do that and you're going on the list of like
what
most overrated top five teams.
You understand this much better than I do, Jason. 8-4 LSU. Roughly, what bowl does that put them in?
I mean, then you're sub citrus, for instance.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. You're in the big group of normal bowls, the Nashvilles and Texases and things of that nature.
You're in like a Southwest destination, not a Delta destination.
You're not quite Dusty Rhodes Regional Airlines, whatever.
We're not Birmingham Bowling.
We're not a pre-Christmas bowl. Pre-Christmas bowl sponsored by Mid-South.
We are
Airlines.
Music City,
Mid-South,
formerly known as Outback, that kind of area.
Yeah, you're playing Iowa. Yeah.
Okay,
you're in the Iowa tier. Let's say
you're playing Iowa or Wisconsin.
All right, so that's what's going to happen. They're going to play Iowa. Brian Ferentz is. Everybody's going to be like, Iowa's got to score 58 points for Brian Ferentz to keep his job. And LSU's dog ass defense is going to be like, we let him score 67 on the rescue.
And America gets cook on a trip.
I want another extremely gritty, and powerful and passionate. Failure to meet expectations. South Carolina, the number of games coming in. People,
The fundamental flaw here is having expectations for South Carolina football. That is on other people.
Vegas has made an amount of money off of it.
I know that that's their job, but like, I think anybody who says
you've entered the spiritual
I know what
realm.
Will happen with South Carolina football. I have identified the flaw. The flaw is you, not them.
Like taking bets on South Carolina is like it's not elder abuse, but it's like of the same genre, right? Like you right. shouldn't
my friend,
be allowed
my
to
friend
do that.
With problems like these, you need to talk to a priest. We're conversing with Fat Rob right now. Fat Rob says six wins. God has other thoughts on your thoughts.
There's so many coin flips left in this schedule.
this one's a motherfucker. This one's amazing because if you go and you look at what South Carolina
what was
has
the number?
Left,
what was the preseason number?
The preseason number for South Carolina in terms of anticipated wins, projected wins, was six.
Okay.
Six.
We can get there. I mean, they get to play Florida still.
We can get there. Now they're currently stand at 2-3.
So they got to beat Florida. They got to beat Vandy.
I had heard people who are more forward. Yeah, I'd heard people who are more forward thinking on these matters say, "Man, they got to bank a couple of these wins early." And I was like, "Whatever." And they're like, "No, man, they really got to beat like Tennessee or North Carolina." And I'm like, "Man, they'll end up at six." Okay. So listen, they do have Florida on the 14th. That's probably a win, okay? They got to go to Mizzou. They get Jacksonville State, who we will talk about in the other category. They're pretty good. They'll lose, but they're pretty good. And then they got to play Vandy, Kentucky, and Clemson. That Clemson game
just skipped over A&M. Just disrespecting the goddamn Aggies.
They have a trophy.
They got money. They got to pay me to mention
the trophy. It's the Sports Illustrated shoe phone. That's what they're playing for.
It's a phone.
And it's a shoe.
And a shoe. Yeah, this is gonna be dicey.
Four wins. Yeah, but also like you're talking about if we're talking about like disappointment, five is a very doable number here, right?
Yeah.
Like,
can I spin it this way? Yeah. It depends on how that last one goes.
They could just do what they did last year. Just tank till the big games and then
knock out Kentucky for the playoffs.
Yeah. Then you beat Kentucky and Clemson. Where was this all year?
Yeah.
The most Gamecock thing would be to hand the Gamecock on Gamecock Violence trophy to Jacksonville State and then beat Clemson. That yes. That would be the most South Carolina.
Dabo gets fired, Rich Rod takes over. Yes. As long as we're manifesting, let's go big.
Which will only happen because West Virginia's playing well and winning games.
Country fucking road.
Oh, what about Holger at Clemson?
I assume West Virginia has to be on the
list. Hey, everybody.
West Virginia has
Please
to be on the list.
Please open your
hymn. Oh, yeah.
West Virginia has to be on the list of improved, right? Of exceeding expectations.
West Virginia is...
They're what, 4-1?
Yep. They yes. sure are.
Okay.
They are.
Just beat TCU.
They are 4-1. Neil Brown.
Everyone saw.
Neil Brown coaching his ass off. And currently, their projected wins, 4.5. So...
Yeah.
I think they ought to...
On their way.
Probably talk an extension. What do you think? yeah, their preseason total was 4.5. So, did we mention that? Sorry.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, we got that. So
4.5, and favored in 4 of their remaining games. So, yeah, Neil Brown extension.
Yeah,
I'm hearing it. You're hearing it. Let's all get on board.
God, I'm so, oh, boy.
Yeah. 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 One more here, and you want to talk about? This is why I think sports gambling is for fools. And made by fools occasionally.
DraftKings.com. No, sorry.
Yeah. Nebraska.
Again. Nebraska. Again. This is
always.
About
we
like,
cannot,
way too
we
much.
Cannot end without Nebraska.
No, no. I'm going to make it brief. 6.5 expected wins.
That was insane. Okay, so some of that was based on everybody thought Colorado wasn't going to be good, right?
Some.
Like, that's one win. That's the difference between 6.5 and 5.5.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what to do beyond that. I still don't know why people.
I was wondering where you were going.
Oh, that's all I got. I ran out of steam there. I'm sorry.
They are favored in one of their remaining.
And there's
games.
Only.
Is it the Northwestern game?
Yeah, and then
yes,
only
the
in, only
game.
Illinois and Purdue are within the coin flip range. So.
Yeah, it's pretty dark. It's a very dark place to be.
So we're probably looking at 4-8 here.
Yeah, yeah,
Christ.
yeah.
They can't. They cannot score points. Like, oh my god, that's if you think Iowa Rutgers is going to be a low over under. Look at
Black
Iowa,
Friday, Nebraska, Friday. Iowa.
Jesus Christ!
You know what? This is too dark for me. Let's go back to
some if realignment was secretly just so we didn't have to play Iowa, Nebraska every Friday. I'm now in favor of it. I'm now in favor of
Nebraska
everything that happened
to the Pac-12. I don't give a shit who's there. Just go.
Just go. Pac-3, buddy.
Go 0-2 every year. Yeah.
I lost 3 times to each. Oh, I lost 3 times to Wazoo and 3 times to
You'll
Oregon
beat Wazoo once because Wazoo will fuck around. But other than that, yeah.
Speaking of the king retaking his throne, yeah, Jacksonville State was projected at 4.5 wins in their FBS debut. They are at 4-1 already.
And where are you projecting them to go from here is my question.
Well, at 4-1 already, and they are favored to win 3 per Massey's Composites. They are 3 of their last 7. So a 7-win debut, if you put it on there, or if they flip another one, if they enact the Beamer protocol and they beat South Carolina so that they can beat Clemson, yeah, you could look at 7 or 8 here.
This is their favorite.
If you want to root hard, by the way, they're favored against Liberty as well. So
a somewhat large-ish game.
Yeah, a somewhat large.
Are they favored against Western Kentucky?
They are not favored against Western Kentucky.
Okay. Western's good. Western Kentucky's a fine team, so there's no shade in that.
There's only one game they're likely to just not win. That would be South Carolina. Otherwise, there's on this entire schedule, there are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 bottom 100 type opponents plus an FCS team. This is a beautiful schedule.
There's one team you haven't mentioned that I'm very concerned for.
Mm-hmm.
This is a team that had a 6.5 game set, partially because of the schedule. But the early part of the schedule has not been supremely successful. It's a team who has 2 wins to date over Western Carolina and Kent State. I'm talking about Arkansas.
Yeah, they're filed under the losers, at the moment.
Okay.
They are currently disappointing. 2-3, they're favored in 3 of their remaining games. One of those is Missouri. What the fuck? Like, I would not. That's not how I would stack that game.
Okay. An individual rating can have some weird stuff in it sometimes.
Sure. Uh-huh.
While we're on the subject, where is the Georgia Kentucky line now?
It started at 26.
It was at 26, then it was at like 19.5.
14.5.
Oh, is that all? I mean, that's at least.
Arkansas. The Dan Enos experiment at. It turns out
Poor Chris Driver.
It turns out we don't like an efficient KJ Jefferson. We don't like an efficient Arkansas at all. That's not what that team should be. That's not what they should try to be, because it ain't working. They haven't banked a whole lot of wins early. It doesn't get any easier down the stretch. This is ugly. This is bad.
Auburn, Arkansas is probably a will you be bowl eligible tipping point, I would say.
Yeah.
Like, if they don't win that, I think it will be very hard to get Arkansas into a bowl game. And then, like, I haven't looked at the recruiting rankings. I don't know, like, I do not feel great about that coaching staff having any longevity at this point.
Nope. I really don't at all. Because it was a very nice story a year ago. And then somebody decided to have expectations.
But again, even those are like 6.5 was like, that's a very manageable number in theory.
Well, also, like we said a couple shows ago, also their backslide is going like largely uncommented on, which is strange given how much of a darling Pittman was on the way up.
I think it could be because it's been so, so gradual. Like it was 2 years ago when they were felt like they were very much on the way up, and then last year, and now they're. So it might just be that it wasn't all that like stark or sudden.
Losing that LSU game, that's now in retrospect.
And like, I'm not saying that they should be like excoriated on television constantly. I just usually when I, or maybe it's that they didn't stay long enough atop the mountain.
Yeah.
For it to be commented much on when they fell back down. But, you know, usually when somebody makes as big a splash as Pittman, culturally within the conference, and that wave recedes, you know, that tends to draw comment.
I would guess it's also probably because, like, he's funny and personable.
Yes.
Yeah. Also, it's Arkansas. You know, like, they don't get the marquee attention, positive or negative.
Well, you know the real answer here. It's because thinking out loud on the SEC network... It's not there to cover him. That's where I got most of my Pittman.
The other part of this is Chad Morris, I still think, is fresh enough in memories that people are like, oh, we know what bad Arkansas really looks like. Like, this is like...
That is a great point.
This is underperforming and kind of frustrating Arkansas. It is not Chad Morris Arkansas football.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that memory's still there.
Yeah.
That memory's still there, and it's fresh enough. But they did drop like dropping that game to BYU, and in retrospect, dropping that LSU game, which you only lost by 3 to a team with no discernible traces of defense. Yeah, that's mega bad. The team that I want to end the positives with is
thank goodness. No more positives.
I know. Mizzou, the University of Missouri football team. An expected win total coming into the year of 6. Of 6.
Okay. Goodness gracious me.
And we are already sitting at 5-0. It
should be noted, it is a very, like, skin of your teeth 5-0. 4 points over a Middle Tennessee team that is not very good.
Correct.
SEC record field goal to beat Kansas State. But Kansas State isn't bad.
So never in doubt.
7 points over Memphis in a neutral, playing in the Rams' old home in St. Louis. And, like, Vanderbilt they handled pretty easily. But, like, there's...
Making it hard, by the way, because they pick teams that I know are good, but I don't know how good they are.
Sure.
Like, ooh, you beat Memphis by a single score. You're like, I don't know. That might mean something.
Right. Kansas State is the same way. Maybe Kansas State.
Exactly.
Maybe we get to the end of the year. We're like, Kansas State is the best 5-loss team in the country.
But
still
won.
5-loss team.
But unlike Arkansas, you won the gimmies, right? You won. You've completed the early assignments.
Yes.
In full.
Yeah.
And passed all of them.
That's true.
Right?
That's
booking
true.
Wins early.
And
is
then,
what
and
they
this
managed
that
to
is
do.
Like very much in contrast to what Missouri is used to doing, I would say.
Right. Right. Like there's and then the rest of the schedule, not a whole lot of favored games. They're favored over South Carolina. Florida's on here. They could easily win that. and Arkansas's on here. So like this is a team where you go, we might not be able to make fun of Eli for going, 6-7 again.
Well, yeah, I mean, anyone can beat LSU.
The heck I can't.
Or the other thing is this could be the reverse November. Like, this could be the reverse, like, oh, ooh. Yeah, it all fell apart down the stretch. I don't know. I truly don't know at this point.
If they don't, they've been so good at making throws easy for Brady Cook.
Yeah.
Like, just making the offense easy and giving him solid throws. And then when things get hard, you just throw it to Luther Burden because he down there somewhere. Right?
Sure.
Like, fuck it. He's down there somewhere. Like, just get it up there. Let him go. I don't know, man. Like, this 8 or 9. 8 or 9 could be the go here.
They are probably the most, one of the most accurately rated AP teams at this point. You're like, yep, right at the edge of the top 25 is like where you belong. That's like about, like, they're probably between the 20th and 27th best team in college football right now, which is great. Like, that's fine.
Mizzou, that's fine. Let's that's enough positivity. I need to get to at least one more loser before we get to my favorite category, which is who the fuck knows, because there's a lot of coin flips down the road. Baylor, Baylor had 7 expected wins coming into this season.
Please.
7, and they are currently at 2-3. They are favored in 2 of their remaining games, and they do not seem capable of playing a normal football game. That's the most alarming thing for anybody following Baylor on a personal level would be this. You're not capable of playing a normal game. They're all going to be weird. Weird in different ways. Even the blowouts.
The team rankings projection for Baylor right now is 4.7 wins.
Goodness.
Yeah. You're favored to beat Houston? Because Dana's out to lunch, y'all. Dana, if you need me, I'll be on the boat.
Guy who can't be fired. You won't believe it. His team is bad.
I used to think that Dana, like, taking a year off. Remember, like, when Derek King left, they're like, well, we'll just, this will just be a scrimmage year. I used to think, like, well, that was kind of brilliant. Now I think it was brilliant for different reasons. Dana was like, they just released Baldur's Gate 3.
I think there's one more positive one you've left out. BYU.
Is it Wyoming?
It's BYU.
Yeah, I did leave out BYU.
Yeah. BYU preseason 5.5 wins. And is currently 4-1 and has enough, like, Yes, they have to play Texas and Oklahoma. But, like, the rest of the Big 12 is, like, who fucking knows? Are you telling me they can't get two wins against TCU, Texas Tech, Iowa State, West Virginia, and Oklahoma State? Like, I wouldn't say that's true. Yeah. I think BYU is probably going to end up reasonably overperforming expectations this year. Nothing crazy, but, like, is 8 wins on the table? Sure. 7 wins for sure.
It's going to suck. I at least a couple of good Big 12 teams, I think, are going to miss bowl season. It's such a fucking logjam. So middle heavy.
How?
And I'm not saying BYU is one of them necessarily, but it could be.
It's stratifying outside of Oklahoma and Texas. It's really, and maybe Oklahoma State at the bottom at this point. Mm-hmm, yeah. Like, I don't, trying to internally rank the Big 12 is basically 1, 2, 11-way tie for 3. It's a very weird conference this year.
A proposal for how they can deal with those bowl log jams. They can have 4 teams show up to 1 bowl.
Yeah.
And they can each take 1 quarter playing the other team.
I think the Big 12 should institute a 8-team internal Big 12 playoff.
I'm here for it, actually. I think that's a great idea. I'd watch the shit out of that.
I think they should call it, like, One True Champion. That would be it. Then they use that, and they use, like, Every Game Counts or some shit.
Uh-huh. Or they just rent a dome for a day, just rent the Alamo Dome.
Yeah. And like a high school jamboree.
You just have one team stay on the field until they lose.
Right.
Right? That's it. You just have Texas stay on the field for 12 quarters and just keep grinding through teams, right?
Yep.
Out there puking in the 14th quarter of their
this?
Title defense.
You knocked Texas out of a playoff spot because we hate them. That's why.
You stay on that field.
Give the Big 12 ideas about things they can do to Texas and Oklahoma right now.
I do like that the SEC commissioner is going to Texas and Oklahoma, but the Big 12 commissioner is not. He's like, those are his kids. Yeah, I'm not going to that soccer game.
Big 12 commissioner's like, I'm scouting UConn again.
I'm not with their mom anymore. I'm not doing that.
I'm gonna go scout this game in Trinidad. That's a cricket match. Yes. It's a growing sport. There are a couple of teams that I have no idea what to do with. There are a couple of teams in this category that are also definitely white knuckle thrill ride down the stretch to meet their expectations. Number one I have is Tennessee. Tennessee had 9 expected wins. 9. And you say, well, that's you know, having seen Joe Milton and having seen the sort of hiccups that offense has had, that seems like a lot. Okay. I'll grant that. But if you look at their schedule, with a few upsets, getting to 9 is not impossible. Just a few.
You have to find 5 more wins on a schedule that includes A&M.
So, beating Alabama is no longer a new thing. Let's just go ahead. Do it two years in a row.
Wow.
Okay. Uh-huh.
All right.
Yep.
Let's go ahead and say that
that's on the
A&M.
Road this year, by the way. That's not
that's,
in
That's
in
on
Knoxville.
The road, and it's probably the number one thing Nick Saban has been angry about all offseason.
I think it's certainly up there.
Well, that's too bad.
Okay. All right. So you're saying beat A&M at home. Beat Alabama on the road. We need 3 more wins.
Beat Alabama
Let's
on the road.
Let's throw UConn. UConn at home. That's your 3. Give me 2 more.
All right. Then at Mizzou, I think they could do that.
Okay. And Vandy.
Missouri's a good team.
Vandy at the end of the year.
Yeah.
So
now, if you don't, here's where things get fun.
You're leaving someone out.
No, they don't need that is to get to 9, though.
If they simply beat Alabama.
I was trying.
So here's the thing.
I was trying to do a thing.
If they lose to Alabama, then we really have a fun challenge, because then you have to beat Georgia.
Now, no, you can beat Kentucky.
No. You don't have to.
You can beat Kentucky and Georgia.
There's
you have
Kentucky.
Both of
Kentucky
those.
Is where this really turns.
Correct.
that's the shit.
Thank
of
you. I'm waiting for us to get to
because
this part.
Because if they lose to Kentucky, they're going to lose to Mizzou too. That's the problem.
So I'm guessing starting this year, it's like, wow, only 4 road games, and 2 of them are Kentucky and Missouri. Wow. And now it's like, oh no, you got to go to fucking Missouri.
Yeah.
This is tough as hell, and I really love the challenge.
The Georgia,
like, I love it.
The
like,
Georgia-Tennessee game is so late this year, and I hate it.
I fucking hate
like,
it.
Like, mm-hmm. every... Ugh. I don't know when schedules...
Have we already played Georgia-Auburn? What is
this
that is, shit?
I feel so old complaining about it, but when the schedule is this
no,
weird...
No, it messes with my biorhythms.
Yes, it's like...
Like, the biorhythms of my bile...
Right, right.
...are completely thrown off. Right.
This is scheduling by FromSoft Games. This is...
I hate it.
Okay, now we're going to make you do the other thing. Florida 5.5.
I did not list that because I had already sort of like,
nope,
said
we're
that
doing
that
it.
Was, no, you're going to do it.
Can you,
okay.
can you get three more
can
wins?
You handle,
can
you handle?
Get three more? I think the answer is yes, but it's going to be dicey, and I know
Am
which three it has
a
to be.
Bad enough dude to find three wins for my own.
How many you need?
The schedule.
Three.
Three?
Three to go
need
over.
Three to exceed 5.5 inches.
Also, by the way, 5.5, very this? Aggressive line for this Florida team.
I,
very
so,
aggressive line.
So team rankings has you at 5.9 for what that's worth.
Can I do it, Ryan? No. Can I lie? Yes.
Fuck me.
What? Listen to me lie.
Do you like living paycheck to paycheck? Florida Gators football may be for you.
God damn it. Who left the AC on for that long? Spreading water for the rest
well,
of the month.
Well, that's it. We're faking our death so the electric company can't come get us.
Finally,
all right,
the
number
Florida
one.
Football prophecy come true. All right. I have faked my death as a result.
Immediately
of
this
football.
Weekend, we will know if Florida can do this or not because they host Vanderbilt in a revenge game because they
that
lost
a,
to Vanderbilt last
for
year.
For this goal, that is a must
that
win.
That is a must
that
win.
That is a must
if
win.
If they lose okay. to Vanderbilt, the over is dead. The season is dead.
It's done.
Like,
it's
Billy
over.
Napier might get fired the week after. And I, yes, that's a grave overreaction, but it really might. I don't think you can lose to Kentucky and Vanderbilt both times you played them. And no, like,
no.
I don't think you can get away with
every, that. That will be, like, I would just go ahead and for anyone in administration and in charge of that university and the decision making, declare a 24-hour moratorium and avoidance of sharp objects for 24 hours. If they lose,
I mean,
game.
So these are the three Florida has to win to go over: Vanderbilt, South Carolina on the road,
Jesus,
and home against Arkansas. Like you have to say, things won't get weird against Vandy, South Carolina, and Arkansas. That's a bad way to live, man.
Either that, or you flip somehow the LSU, Missouri, or Florida State games. Like, no,
they're not going to flip yeah. Florida State. That one's
you
not
simply
gonna
beat Georgia.
That one's not going to happen. I can
notice,
see
way,
a case for
not even mentioned.
Missouri is not what we thought they were, and by the time we get there, that's so late in the season, maybe the complexion of things looks totally different.
Yeah.
And LSU is but LSU like has so much hate and venom at this point that it doesn't feel flippable.
But their defense is very bad.
Their defense is very bad, but Florida's offense isn't very good.
You yeah, it's in like, we're in like the hundreds, like by most metrics. Like it's
you might
good.
Score 100,
but Florida's defense isn't
over the course of the
yeah,
rest of the season.
I don't know.
That'd be a lot.
The long and the short is we are now in the enviable position of Vanderbilt is a do or die game for the Florida Gators. And what is the line on that game?
I do not know.
I'm gonna look because I don't like myself.
You're looking at 18.5.
Well, they're not going to cover that.
No,
they're not going to cover that.
It's free money. Come on.
The over-under on this game is 52.
Seems high. Then again, maybe Vandy will run the ball. And then, I don't know. Scoreboard's going to light up.
Vandy can throw is the thing. Vandy can throw the ball a little bit.
Oh, boy. So, yeah, that's how you find.
Can we talk about something happier?
Yeah, I have a few
no,
more.
No, I want to talk
so
about
much math.
I want to talk about
great.
Something else entirely, please. Holly,
you can go right ahead.
Yeah.
Ghost dog.
Is it my turn?
It is your turn.
President's dog haunted.
All right, please
I'm
explain.
Waiting so long for this. I really, really deeply regret bringing Politico onto this show, but I feel like you will find it has been worth it. Also, for once, a story broke in time for us to have it on the show and not the day after the show. So, there's this story in Politico's West Wing playbook called Commander's Taste Buds. And it is about President Biden's 2-year-old German Shepherd Commander and his, what they're calling, behavioral issues. So, CNN reported last week that commander recently bit another U.S. Secret Service agent, bringing the total number of known biting incidents to 11. Now, my personal
known is doing
horse,
a lot of work there.
No, my known is a tell.
Again, don't forget, this is the better behaved dog, not the one that has already been banished from the White House.
Sure.
Now, my personal pet theory is that it has bitten the same Secret Service agent 11 times. But let's go with the boring update. There was a wonderful bit of it. That there was a beautiful bit of. I love that we're still pulling off banger tweets in the decline of the world. But Twitter user Populism Updates dropped a bit of text from the story into Twitter last night that was half real and then took a turn for a ghost story in the middle. Claiming, which Politico does not, that Commander was roaming the halls making a mysterious clicking sound. And I just want to read some of the response. My favorite response, and I think the one that really sums up my best opinion, is from Twitter user Modest Maoist, who says, "I don't know, man. If you don't want your dog possessed by Mesoamerican corn demons, try not founding your country on genocide." And then he says, "Giant pile of buffalo
skulls." Doctors hate this one trick.
He says, "Country that did this, yelling, 'Oh, geez, sorry, he's normally really friendly,' while their dog is beelining straight to the dozenth Secret Service femur they've tasted this week." Now, presidents are very sensitive PR. Even Joe Biden, not him, but his administration. All presidential administrations are sensitive to bad PR. I think we could all draw a pretty straight line from the news the past couple years to this dog still being in the White House. And that is that we still don't know how many Secret Service agents were involved in January 6th.
I haven't.
And that this dog is. And as evidence, let me present this, mm-hmm. Okay? This dog is in the White House. This dog is surrounded by strangers all day long. Look at the number of reported incidents we have of dog bites. Let me tell you who's not on the reported list of dog bites. President Biden or his family members, including his numerous grandchildren. Staffers, White House employees, pages,
visitors to the White House.
20 years, yeah, visitors to the White House, dignitaries, and their security forces. There are other country security forces in the White House all the time, accompanying people. You know, Treasury agents who are not in the Secret Service. CIA personnel, regular ass FBI agents, regular police officers,
other dogs,
Capitol police officers, mm-hmm. other dogs,
squirrels,
you know, White House cafeteria workers. Yeah. Guess who keeps showing up in these incidents? It's the Secret Service.
I have a different theory.
Okay.
I think the Secret Service has figured out if you just fucking need some paid time off and you haven't like booked any. Mm. If you just like put a little bacon in your pocket and fuck with the dog, like that's a week. That's an easy week, no questions asked.
Yeah.
You probably don't even have to get bit that hard. You can at this point you could just be like, "Oh yeah, dog bit me."
Imagine though how much paperwork is involved getting bitten by the president's dog?
It's probably worth it though if you can get a week or two off.
Okay.
At this point there might be a form. There might be like just sign here
next.
If you got bit by the president's dog. My other theory is that all dogs are online at this point. I have to assume. And there's been a lot of memes going right. around lately about John Carpenter's
all
The Thing.
All dogs are online.
There's okay. been a lot of memes about John Carpenter's The Thing. And I think maybe this dog is like, I don't know which Secret Service agents are true people or assimilated aliens. And I have to bite them to, like, I can't hold electric current to test their blood. So this is my next best option is to bite them. And if they turn into horrifying thing monster, look at that. I just saved democracy.
Let me just point in one more line. I'm just going to drop in one more line of dialogue from this story. "Everyone loves him," said a White House staffer. "He's always so friendly." This feels, if I'm the Secret Service, this is starting to feel like a me problem.
Yeah. Like, I don't know. Is this dog ACAB?
No, because think about all the other different types of law enforcement sure. that are in and out of that yeah. building on a given day.
Is this dog
He's not biting Capitol Police. He's not biting, like... He's not biting motorcycle cops guarding the motorcade.
I think this dog is C-cab. Certain cops are bastards.
I think this dog has uncovered the deep state and knows that it's after the president.
Yeah, yeah.
And this dog is the last line of defense.
You know, so this is the 11th time?
The 11th known.
So are you saying that the Secret Service missed an obvious threat on 11 different occasions?
Do you think we'll ever get a president with a pet snake?
We may have already had
Johnson
one. Hold
didn't
on.
Have one?
That's not the kind of pet snake I'm talking
about. That's not what I meant either. I just meant he's from Texas.
No surprise here. Theodore Roosevelt had snakes.
Did he?
There we go.
Fuck yes.
God. Thank you, Teddy.
Oh, my God.
Did he take him on submarine?
Speak softly and carry a snake in public.
Speak softly and carry a big snake.
We need to bring that back, and we need to say, like, it's part of our presidential tradition. Can you imagine? Listen, I'm not
Shit, man, you can work a snake into all those coils on the seal. It's fine. It goes with the eagle.
This is not the party I'm going to vote for, and I don't think that's surprising. But I think the next person in the Republican debates who shows up on stage with a fucking snake coiled around his or her shoulders
the grand old python.
Is going to fucking get that nomination.
Unfortunately, they're going to paint the. Unfortunately, they're going to paint the snake in metallic red, white, and blue, and the snake is going to die like that girl in Goldeneye.
That's fine.
Or Goldfinger.
Sitting on his couch on his ninth beer, looks up and goes, "Oh, dude, that's sick.
I could have a beer with that guy and his snake.
I'm voting.
Goddamn, Vivek's got a snake. I like this dude.
Probably smoke K with that guy. This is awesome.
This is actually how we finally get Ted Cruz off this mortal coil. He's like, they'll like me now as he lifts this giant rattlesnake out of a box.
Like this is the move. This is just the move. Be the snake nominee.
Just I want to be the paid actor in the audience for that. He goes, hey, the snake guy seems real fucking cool. I agree with Mr. Thinks the Snake Guy is cool.
I got a question for Governor Snake Master.
He speaks with the tongues of men and angels, and I don't see anything wrong with that.
I mean, if you're polling at 1%, brother, go ahead and do it.
Right?
Yeah, you got nothing to lose. Why don't you be a Mr. Cool Guy with a snake and a leather jacket? Why don't you dress like Bret Hart out there?
Oh, man.
You showed me where the Second Amendment applies to snakes.
You can't put a snake in a leather vest. It doesn't have arms.
What about a leather snuggie of sorts?
Yeah, you could just put it in like a little leather turtleneck.
I think it's
a little turtleneck.
It's all vest, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's all vest, yeah.
Snake's the original leather vest.
That's right. He brought his own to the party. Oh. That's how cool he is.
Look at that snake. He's wearing snake skin.
This is my running mate, Vengeance.
I'm putting him on the Supreme Court.
This is how the No Labels Party gets in all 50 states. You don't need a label when you're carrying around a big fucking snake. God.
Let's just see who's a bitch and just lays the snake on the stage. See who runs.
Nikki Haley's like, oh, that's my friend Edgar.
Yeah.
We go to church together.
He's a good Christian snake.